Well, we've been talking about what? The noble sheep, right? We've been immersing ourselves in all of the sheep and shepherd stuff during this season of Lent, when we celebrate again the central fact of our faith, crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. And I found this interesting. Somebody's actually counted this, not me. But did you know that the Bible refers to sheep, lambs, ewes, sheepfolds, shepherds? Well, just guess. Somebody come in and call out. How many times do you think the Bible refers to sheep stuff? 5,000. No, it's not 5,000. Come on. Come on. What's that? 900? Maybe this doesn't sound like a high number, but it's 600. I mean, that's a lot when you think. That's pretty remarkable that you'd get that sheep shepherd imagery 600 times in the Bible. And if the Bible is indeed God's word, which we certainly believe it to be, then God is saying to us, if you want to learn something about what it means to follow my son Jesus, watch some literal sheep. Take note of what they do and how they act. And if you want to know something about my son Jesus and me, watch a faithful shepherd. You can learn a lot. And so the more that we understand about sheep and shepherds, the more we understand some amazing spiritual truths about God's relationship with us. So respect the sheep, okay? One of the best examples of this sheep and shepherd metaphor in Psalm 23 is Psalm 23, one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, most loved passages. And we're reflecting on it verse by verse, week by week, right through Easter Sunday this year. And so again, what does Psalm 23 have to do with Good Friday? What does it have to do with Easter? And we've been saying that, well, Jesus is the one who really makes the connection, because he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. So there's the tie-in to the crucifixion and what Jesus did there. And so each week we have been reading Psalm 23 out loud and together in a different English version. And today we're going to read it from what's called the English Standard Version, which maybe is a kind of a newer translation to you, the ESV. So I'm going to invite you, if you would, to look up at the screen and let's read together Psalm 23. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. So the central message or truth that we want to talk about today is the last phrase of verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the central message that we want to drill down on today and take home is a wonderful one, and that is simply that the Lord our shepherd comforts us. He comforts us. But to understand that message, that truth, we have to understand some more about sheep and shepherds and the imagery that goes with it. So to be specific, we've got to understand something about shepherds' rods and shepherds' staffs. What were they? How did shepherds use them? Why were they comforting to sheep? Obviously, God doesn't use literal physical rods or staffs on us. So what does the rod stand for in your life and mine? What does the staff stand for? What's the truth behind the image? What's the point of the metaphor? Now, the shepherd's rod and staff were two unique things, yes, but they also complemented each other. They worked together. They often performed some of the same tasks. So first of all, I want you to think with me a little bit about the shepherd's rod. The shepherd's rod, which I believe points us to the Word of God, Scripture, the Bible. Okay? From what I've been told, both shepherds back in Jesus' day as well as shepherds today carry a minimum of equipment when they're out there in the pasture actually taking care of their sheep. Back in King David's day, remember he's the one that wrote this psalm, and even in Jesus' day, the rod and the staff were the common, kind of the universal equipment of a shepherd. And we put a picture up there. There's a picture of both of them. The staff is on the left, and the rod is on the right. And in Bible times, the rod, the instrument that you see there on the right, was just a long club, maybe 2 or 4 feet, although that one is a bit longer than that. And it was used primarily to defend sheep against predators. Remember, there is no animal quite as defenseless and vulnerable as a sheep. It has no natural defenses whatsoever. A sheep doesn't have sharp teeth. It doesn't have claws. It can't run away fast from anybody. It's got poor eyesight. So sheep are about the easiest prey out there. And sheep absolutely need the protection of a shepherd. I mean, they're lost without a shepherd. And a shepherd would use a rod to strike an animal that was attacking sheep, like a wolf or a mountain lion. A shepherd spent hours learning even how to throw the rod, kind of like a missile or a spear, at a predator, with both speed and accuracy. When David was a young man, he himself was a shepherd. And he once said this, he said, "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death." And so David's club here was likely the rod that he mentioned here in Psalm 23. And so sometimes a rod was even used to beat back brush where snakes might be hiding as well. Its primary purpose was to keep sheep safe and sound. And so it's easy to understand then why sheep would find comfort in the shepherd's rod, yes? It symbolized his strength, his ability to handle any dangerous situation that the flock faced. It said to the sheep, "Hey, you're safe. You're protected. I have my eye on you and out on anything that's out to get you." So what's the rod then that the good shepherd, Jesus, uses in your life and in mine as his sheep? What's the parallel? And I like the suggestion that it's primarily the Bible, the Word of God. The more that you read Scripture, the more that you reflect on Scripture, and above all, the more that you apply Scripture, the more protection you and I get from our spiritual enemies. Remember, folks, that like sheep, you and I are pretty easy prey. are pretty easy prey. We have some formidable enemies according to the Bible. Yes, here's what the Bible says. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Wow. So just like sheep, you and I we're outmatched spiritually. We're pretty much defenseless in and of ourselves. Now, in the Bible calls the Bible a weapon. Remember that scripture that says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God, okay? And maybe you remember what Jesus did and said when he was tempted by the devil. He quoted scripture to the devil over and over again. It is written. It is also written. For it is written. And so there's no substitute for you and me personally reflecting upon and then applying scripture to our lives. And of course, folks, of course it's worthwhile to go to Bible studies and to hear messages and so forth. But you need, and I need, to learn how to reflect on and apply the Bible to ourselves. That's one reason why we emphasize the necessity of personal interaction with Scripture in our efforts to develop a discipleship culture here at our church. So let me know if you need help getting into God's Word for yourself. I can help you with that. There's other people in our church that can help you with that. Okay? Or the next time that we offer a devotional life seminar, sign up and go. Today's seminar is about spiritual gifts, but we also occasionally offer one about how to start a devotional life. So next time we offer that, sign up for it. I wonder if you're sick and tired of getting the tar beat out of you spiritually. Are you sick and tired of getting wounded and cut up by life? God has provided a rod for you, a club, so to speak. It's called the Word of God. But it's up to you and me to learn how to wield that club, how to use it, how to beat the tar out of the devil with it. Okay? And the Bible can be a comfort to you and me if you know how to use it, how to protect yourself from the attacks that are going to come. Well, On occasion, a shepherd used his rod to discipline his sheep. Now, that doesn't mean that he would beat the sheep with his rod. No. Shepherd would never beat his sheep. They were too valuable. You didn't do that. But he might throw it just past the sheep, particularly a wandering one who was getting into some kind of dangerous situation, so would head back to the safety of the flock. Remember, these shepherds were very good. They were very accurate. They just kind of tossed that stuff. And the Bible says this about Scripture itself, because Scripture has that same ability. It can rebuke. It can correct us. Here's what Scripture says. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. So Scripture has that quality. Another place we read in the Bible, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So, of course, the Bible can make you feel good. Sure, it has that dimension. It's full of all these reminders of God's love, and it's full of God's wonderful promises to you and to me, but it also exposes our sinful thoughts and our actions. It will rebuke us. It will correct us. So should I feel comfort in that? Absolutely. Because it means that God wants to protect me and keep me safe, even if my feelings get hurt. That's what God is trying to do. Rabbi Akiva is a well-known first and second century spiritual leader from the Jewish tradition. And for a period of time, he was a shepherd himself. And one day he noticed a tiny stream trickling down a hillside, dripping over a ledge on its way down toward the river below. And just below the ledge was this massive boulder. And surprisingly, he noticed that the rock had put a deep impression, or that drip of water had put a deep impression into this boulder. It was that slow and steady drip, drip, drip. Over the days and months and probably centuries that had hollowed out that stone. And Akiva thought to himself, he said, you know, if water can do that to our hard rock, how much more can the Word of God carve away into the heart of my flesh? And Akiva realized that if the water had just flowed over the rock all at once, the rock would have been unchanged, yeah? It was that slow but steady impact of each and every droplet, day after day, month after month, year after year, that completely altered and changed that stone. So what's the message? Folks, there is no one sermon. There is no one teacher. There is no one commentary on the Bible that is going to give you everything that you ever need to know about God's Word. It doesn't work that way. You can't learn God's truth in just sort of one marathon session somewhere. Okay? God likes to reveal Himself and His truth over many, many years. And so big splashes aren't usually God's way of doing much of anything. Instead, through the slow drip of reflecting on God's Word day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, God shapes us into what He wants us to be. So we need to give ourselves to the study and application of God's Word. One more insight about the shepherd's rod. It was a symbol of his power and authority over the flock. From a sheep's perspective, I'm not sure they knew the difference between the shepherd's arm and the shepherd's rod. It was just all an extension of his arm or of his hand. And when sheep saw that rod, it was reminded of who was in charge and that he had the power and the resources to keep them safe and sound. You know, and that got me thinking. Remember what God gave to Moses as a symbol of divine power and divine authority? Remember that story? Well, after he got kicked out of Egypt for killing an Egyptian, Moses became what by profession? Shepherd, yeah. Became a shepherd. And then when God called Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, He turned Moses' everyday shepherd's rod into a symbol of God's power and authority. And if you remember, Moses used that rod to perform miraculous signs before Pharaoh. He used the rod to bring the plagues upon the land of Egypt. He used the rod to perform the parting of the Red Sea so the people of Israel could cross. He held up the rod in prayer to defeat Israel's enemies. And likewise, God's word always points to His power and His authority, doesn't it? And God's word is an extension of God's will. It's an extension of God's mind. It's an extension of God's intentions for you and for me. God's comfort is always more than just offering me a Kleenex to dry my own tears. God's word is a constant reminder to us of who's really in charge and who has the real power. Yes, sometimes God's power can seem overwhelming and it can seem kind of scary, but we also need to understand that it is comforting because our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is as tender as He is powerful. What a comfort it is to know that and to realize that. Well, then for a few moments, think with me about the shepherd's staff. The shepherd's staff, which I believe points us to the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit. Today, shepherds in modern shepherds probably don't really have a rod anymore. You know why? They carry rifles. I mean, that's probably a lot better protection for sheep. But they are still likely to carry and to use a staff, just like shepherds back in Bible times. And a shepherd's staff is this long, slender stick with a crook or a hook at one end of it. And it's pretty much unique to the profession of being a shepherd. You ever seen a rancher who has cattle with a shepherd's staff? No. How about somebody who herds horses? No. Ever seen this kind of instrument with somebody who takes care of pigs? No. A staff is designed, it's shaped, it's adapted, especially to the needs of sheep, okay? And sheep have this way of kind of getting them into dangerous situations because they're always looking for the perfect morsel of grass, you know? And so sometimes it'll get itself out on some rocky ledge, or it'll go diving into some kind of a thorny bush, and you know it gets all caught up with its heavy fleece. And so that curved crook of the staff, it's used to pull up or to pull out, either by getting it around the neck of the animal or around the leg of the animal and just literally pulling it up and pulling it out of wherever it's gotten itself into trouble in. I understand that at the bottom end of some shepherd staffs was a sort of a spoon-shaped shovel. And if a sheep wandered too far away from the flock, the shepherd learned how to just get a little piece of mud or dirt, and he would just flick it at the sheep like this. Kind of like, flock's back over here, guy. It's safe if you get back over to this side of things. And so it was the shepherd's way of protecting and watching over his sheep. So we begin to understand then that the sheep found the shepherd's staff comforting. It provided guidance and direction and again, another level of protection for the sheep. Well, so that's the shepherd's staff, literally. What is the staff of Jesus, the Good Shepherd? What does that look like in your life and in my life as sheep? And I do like the suggestion that it stands primarily for the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, God provides you and me at all times shepherdly guidance and direction and loving protection. Here's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So, What a wonderful promise that Jesus gives us there. Comforting promise, is it not? The Holy Spirit himself guides us. He directs us. He protects us. You know, the Greek word there in that John 14 and John 16 passage, the Greek word is parakletos. And we sometimes have anglicized that to say paraclete. And whenever you try to translate that particular word into a different language, scholars struggle. What word are we going to use to convey what a paraclete is? And you can find that even in English translations. It's been translated as helper and counselor and advocate and comforter. A lot of different meanings for paraclete. And this was, knowing how to translate it was particularly a problem for translators in one particular African language, Kare, which is one of the many languages spoken in Africa. How would they describe the Holy Spirit there in John 14 and John 16? And so one day the translators came across a group of porters going off into the jungle, carrying bundles of goods on their heads. And they noticed that in this line of porters, there was always one person, one man, who didn't carry anything. And they assumed that he was some sort of boss, there to make sure that everybody else did their work. But they discovered that he wasn't a boss at all. He had a very special, unique job. He was there in case anybody fell over from exhaustion. And then he would come and he would pick up this man's load and carry it for him. And this porter was known in the Kare language as, quote, the one who falls down beside us. The one who falls down beside us. The translators had their word for the Holy Spirit, Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the one who falls down beside us when that load of life just gets too heavy, and he comes along and he helps us to pick up that load again. Folks, the Holy Spirit is never about limiting your life. But instead, he's all about protecting and guiding you and equipping you so that you can experience life to the fullest. The Holy Spirit's presence means that God loves you too much to just leave us to ourselves. He cares enough to pull us up and out of the trouble of life when we need it. He warns us when we're getting too far away from his loving care. If he didn't love us, if Jesus didn't love us, he just let us wander around like some dumb sheep who falls off a cliff or finds itself alone and defenseless. But like the shepherd's staff, the Holy Spirit is the way that Jesus, the good shepherd, always watches you, always attends you, always is ready to jump in and rescue you when necessary. And that ought to be a comforting thought and truth for you and for me. I also found it interesting that a shepherd sometimes used his staff as a way to establish a personal connection with his sheep. Sometimes all he would do is he would just lay his staff on top of the sheep's back or put it along the sheep's side as they walked along in the pasture or, you know, down some trail or whatever. And it was a way of just reminding the sheep, I'm here. I'm here. You're safe. You have nothing to fear. I'm taking good care of you. It was a way of literally staying in touch with his sheep. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who provides that sense of personal connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. It's through the Holy Spirit that you and I are in touch with Jesus. Again, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. You see the personal connection? And folks, of course it's important to believe the right doctrines and grow in your knowledge of the Bible. But being a follower of Jesus is more than that, isn't it? Isn't it also experiencing and knowing the feel, the reality of Jesus' touch upon your life in a personal way? And that happens when the Holy Spirit somehow impresses the presence of Jesus upon my spirit. And I don't know how the Holy Spirit does that. I honestly don't. But I know that it's not my imagination either. Those moments when we just get a deep and a profound sense of connection with Jesus. And sometimes those can come in the most difficult and darkest moments in our lives. All of a sudden, Jesus is just there. Not physically, but spiritually. And we find a comfort beyond words. That's the Holy Spirit. He provides that personal connection to Jesus. Then I would suggest to you as well that a shepherd's staff demonstrated the value and the importance of each sheep. A shepherd used his staff to inspect a sheep carefully. He would actually take the staff and he would run it over the sheep's body, examining it for problems or issues that needed his attention. I want you to just picture with me this morning a sheep coming out of its pen and being stopped by the shepherd with his outstretched staff. And then he would actually poke around in the fleece with that staff. And then he would run his hands over the sheep's body, looking for any sign of trouble, an injury or some other kind of a problem. And it's sometimes referred to as passing under the staff. Passing under the staff. And it was done literally in Bible times when sheep were dedicated to the Lord. For instance, in the Bible we read, and every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the shepherd's staff shall be holy to the Lord. And God used that same imagery when he said this about God's people through the prophet Ezekiel. I will make you pass under the shepherd's staff, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Well, why would a sheep find that comforting? Again, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Why would that be comforting to a sheep? Well, it simply meant that it was being looked at and over with great care to make sure that all was well with it. Any hidden problems were discovered and addressed by the shepherd. I mean, the sheep couldn't actually communicate with the shepherd and say, I got a cyst on my leg or something. No, it would depend upon the shepherd to find that out. And so at the end of the day, the sheep really did not want to pull any wool over the shepherd's eyes, right? If necessary, the shepherd got below the surface and exposed anything and everything that needed to be set right. And it's the Holy Spirit in your life and mine that constantly reminds us of our value and importance to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. That's part of what he does. And you don't really want to try to pull any wool over God's eyes either, do you? Do you? Don't you want Jesus to get below the surface of your life and expose anything and everything that needs to be set right and corrected? I mean, isn't that why we take time to confess our sins before we take communion this morning? Why? Because we want to be right. We want to be clean. We want to be spiritually healthy before our shepherd. In another psalm that he wrote, David said this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." God, I don't want to pull the wool over your eyes. Reveal to me how you see me so that I can get the stuff fixed that needs to get fixed. And so getting passed under the staff, so to speak, underlines our value and our importance to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. You know, if you and I could just be kind of transported right now to some sheep pasture in the area, all those sheep would look pretty much the same to us, wouldn't they? I mean, we wouldn't know one animal from the next. I mean, a sheep looks like a sheep, right? But that's not true of a good shepherd. Not a good shepherd. A good shepherd knows his sheep, each and every one of them. And to him, every sheep is uniquely precious and special. Now, that's a truth that is so important to us, and sometimes I think we forget it so easily. You are unique and special to your shepherd. And Jesus emphasized that truth spiritually when he said he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. And they know me just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So the Lord's table is before us today, and it's a powerful reminder of just how important and just how valuable each of us are. Just every one of us, just one of his sheep, are unique and special and important to this good shepherd. Think of communion today as a way of getting passed under the staff. The shepherd's staff. You matter. You count. You have eternal value and importance. Who says so? Your shepherd says so. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Bible scholar and pastor N.T. Wright tells a story about an Anglican archbishop over in the United Kingdom who had three spiritually hardened teenagers who came to him in his church in order to give a confession. Those of you who kind of grow up in that tradition, it's, you know, you go and you confess your sins to the pastor or the priest. So they came to do this, but for these three teenagers, this was all a big joke. They weren't taking this seriously at all. And so they came to the archbishop and they began to confess this ridiculous and terrible and long list of sins that they had never committed. And it was all just a bad joke made in poor taste. And the archbishop just kind of played along with it with the first two boys, and they eventually just kind of left the church laughing at the silliness of all this. And then the third teenager, the archbishop listened to his confession. And then afterward, he said, okay. He said, you've confessed to all of these sins. He said, I want you to do something to show your repentance. I want you to go to the other end of the church, and I want you to stand before the picture of Jesus, and look up into his face, and say, you did that for me, but I don't really care much about it. And I want you to do that three times. So this young teenager walked down to the end of the church, and he looked up at the picture of Jesus, looked at the face of Jesus, and he said, and you did this for me, and I could care less. He did it a second time. And you did this for me, and I could care less. And he tried to say it a third time, but he couldn't, because he burst into tears. And the archbishop knew that story because he himself had been that young man. There is something about the cross that tells us how much God loves us and how valuable and important we are to him. And we can't get away from it. It grasps us. It holds us. It reminds us that God is a God of incomparable love. So much love that he sent Jesus to die on a cross for us and be raised again. What value and what importance he puts on your life and upon my life. So, who is it that makes the cross important to you and to me? Holy Spirit. Who is it that makes Jesus real to you and me? The Holy Spirit. Who is it that constantly reminds us of our value and importance to the Good Shepherd, Jesus himself? The Holy Spirit. Your rod, the Word of God. And your staff, the Holy Spirit. They comfort me. Let's pray. Father God, how we thank and praise you for your word today. We thank you for the ministry of your scripture and of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We praise and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.